So I'll begin this story by telling you the reason I'm telling you the story, then by inviting you to become a part of the story, and then we'll finish the story in the homily of the Mass. So that's the plan. Why am I telling you this story? That's the first point. Because it happened in January, a long time ago. The miracle itself that I'm about to describe, and Saint Maximilian discovering the miracle. So at this point, you might already be confused. So let's explain just that. So a miracle took place in January of 1842, the conversion of Alphonse Ratisbon through the miraculous medal. Then Saint Maximilian Kolbe, a long time after that, when he was in seminary, heard this story one January morning from his seminary rector, the conversion told to all seminarians during the morning meditation. And that changed the course of St. Maximilian's life. Hearing this story increased his love for Our Lady, increased his confidence in Our Lady's intercession and power, and increased his desire to spread devotion to her, especially by giving out the miraculous medal. All this took place in January. So it's opportune that we talk about it in this month of January and this first Saturday. So the story itself, the conversion of Alphonse Ratisbon, just briefly. He was born in Strasbourg, France in 1814. He was the son of wealthy Jewish bankers. He had an older brother, Theodore, who in 1825 converted to Catholicism and became a priest. For this reason, he was hated by his younger brother, Alphonse, and all the more, Catholicism was hated by Alphonse. In 1842 now, Alphonse was setting out on a tour of Europe and the Near East, and upon his return, he had plans to get married, and he in fact was already engaged, and to go into the banking business to make a lot of money and to inherit the family fortune as well. That was his plan. Telling the rest of the story, I'll be quoting from his own diary in which he tells this miracle and just commenting a little bit here and there. He says that even though he was Jewish, he had no religion at all. He was Jewish by ethnicity, but really not by religion. He didn't believe in God, certainly didn't believe in the Jewish religion. But I was busy with the worldly condition of my co-religionists. He was concerned about his fellow Jews. He was a man of goodwill. He had that seed within him, just a little bit of that fundamental commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves. He didn't have the faith yet, so for that seed to grow, the faith was necessary. He says, I was a Jew by profession, and that was all, for I did not even believe in God. My own private opinion was that they should allow all religions to die out quietly, and that everyone should be left free to express and practice his faith in his own fashion, right? So that kind of religious indifference was already prevalent back then. It was since the Enlightenment. But Our Lady was watching over her prodigal son, and grace began to work in him. And as he sets out on this trip, something unexpected happens. He had his itinerary all planned out, and Rome was not on the itinerary, and all of a sudden he finds himself in Rome. He was going to go from Naples to Malta, completely bypassing the Eternal City, but for an unknown reason, he says he felt a compulsion almost to buy a ticket and go to Rome instead. In fact, he had to go backwards. Naples is south of Rome, and he was going to keep going south to the Middle East, and yet he says, I'm going to turn around. I don't know why. I'm buying a ticket and going to Rome. In Rome, unexpectedly, he finds himself visiting a church, although he feels a disgust for organized religion, particularly for Catholicism. He enters a Catholic church. And it was a Franciscan church, by the way. And I say that because we're Franciscans here. This was another sign of goodwill and openness to God on his part, even though it was very hidden still, and in the heart, mainly hardened still. So inside of this church, called the Ara Celi, the altar of heaven, he says, I prayed after my own fashion, without taking any notice of what was going on around me. I prayed for my fiance, for my uncle, for my deceased father, for the loving mother who had been taken from me so early, and for all who were dear to me. And I asked God, in whom I didn't even believe, I asked God some inspiration, some hint of His will, that He might guide me in my projects for improving the condition of my fellow Jews. That love of neighbor entered into His prayer. My sadness passed away as I said this prayer, and my heart was filled with calm, such as I should have felt if a voice had said to me, "Your prayer is heard." And so remember this, it's going to come up again at the end. He's asking, how can I improve the condition of my fellow Jews? As a sincere concern. And he hears this, not really a voice, but has a sentiment, a conviction that his prayer is heard. How, we'll see at the end. So while still in Rome, Alphonse Ratisbonne unexpectedly runs into an old acquaintance of his from France, a baron, Theodore de Bussière. And he reluctantly agrees to pay him a visit. Kind of doesn't want to be delayed, doesn't want to be deterred, but out of politeness has to say, "Yes, I'll come visit you at your house." "Whether I liked it or not, I was committed to this visit," he says, "and I put it off to the last moment and at length set off." Okay, puts it off to the last moment so he can say, "Listen, I don't have a lot of time, I gotta go." That's his plan. He was hoping to get away with just leaving the baron with a calling card, but no such luck. Divine providence had other plans. So he knocks at the door of the baron. A servant actually opens the door. He says, "Listen, I don't have much time. Tell the baron I came to visit." But the servant says, No. I'll take you in to see the baron." "No, it's not necessary." "Oh, yes, it is. I will. I'll take you in." So this undesired and unexpected meeting now begins. The baron was a very fervent Catholic. And we all should be very fervent Catholics. And he plays an instrumental role in this story. He saw it as his mission to become an instrument of this man's conversion. So he doesn't give up on him. This man, by the way, is, a professed atheist, not hesitant to blaspheme God and his church. He's a foul-mouthed man. And yet the baron does not give up on him, doesn't write him off. Quite the contrary, he says, "I'm going to make a Christian out of this guy. Or rather, I'm going to let God use me as an instrument in this man's conversion." So they became friendly in their conversation, but Ratisbonne's sarcasm and blasphemy greatly irritated and saddened the devout baron. He couldn't hide his sadness. When the baron talked to Ratisbonne about Catholicism, Ratisbonne himself writes that, "I answered with some of the many insults that I had heard and read, although I checked my frenzy out of respect for Madame de Bussière and the two children who were present at that conversation." So still, some goodness left in his heart. You know, he checks his blasphemies out of respect for the women and children. The baron, saddened, says to him, "Since you detest superstition, as you say," okay, superstition equals religion in Ratisbonne's mind, "since you detest superstition, and you're a rational man, right? And you profess yourself to be so liberal about doctrine, and since you are so enlightened, do you have the courage to submit yourself to a very simple and innocent test?" "Well, what is this test?" "Only to wear a little something I will give you. And look, it is a medal of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the miraculous medal, which, parenthetically, was by 1842, becoming madly popular and wildly popular in the whole world. Our Lady revealed it in 1830, so 12 years before, initially with the name Medal of the Immaculate Conception, but so many people were wearing it, so many miracles were happening, that by now it has the name Miraculous Medal. So it's this medal that he offers to Alphonse Ratisbonne. "I assure you that I attach great value and efficacy to this little medal." Ratisbonne accepted this medal rather reluctantly, and even more so because it wasn't just a medal. They couldn't find a string for this medal, so the girl has found a blue string that was really embarrassing for this guy to wear. But he says, "Okay, I'll put this on because it's going to be, a delicious and funny chapter for my journal. When I go back home and tell my friends what I did on my trip, we're going to be laughing just hysterically about this little chapter. I put on this little Catholic medal and I wore it for a few days." He allowed it to be put around his neck. And then the baron insisted. This baron was a good apostle. He says, "Now you must complete the test. You're wearing the medal now. Don't take it off. But there's one more thing that I have to tell you and ask you to do. There's a prayer you have to say every night. It's the Memorare. The Memorare is the prayer of Saint Bernard." Okay, we're all familiar with it, more or less. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone fled to thy protection, etc., etc. So he says, it's a very short prayer, a very efficacious prayer, which St. Bernard addressed to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Say it, okay? Just, if you're so liberal about doctrine, if you're so tolerant and so open to everything, say this prayer. Ratisbon resists. Let's be done with this folly, he says. The Baron insists back. He says that by refusing to recite this prayer, you make the test useless, and you only prove the reality of the willful obstinacy with which the Jews are reproached. Ratisbon takes this as a personal challenge, says, we're not obstinate. I'm not obstinate. I will say this prayer. And to prove his goodwill, and that he was not afraid of the truth. Well, then I promise to say this prayer. If it does me no good, it cannot do me any harm. If it does me no good, it cannot do me any harm. He did not know anything about religion or about Our Lady, but he knew, again, in a very veiled way, I know I'm reading into this here, but on purpose, Our Lady can only do us good, no harm. Amazing attitude from the very beginning. So, Ratisbon started saying the prayer. As I walked along, I could not help repeating the words of the prayer, the memorare. How was it that those words had taken so deep a hold on my mind? I could not put it out of my mind. Once he learned it, it got stuck there and kept repeating itself over and over again. So I said the words over and over again, just as one hums a tune which is haunting and without conscious effort. All right, so this is what's going on, right? He leaves the house of the Baron, right? Puts on this medal as a test, starts saying the prayer. January 20th of 1842 arrives. The Baron at this point is still not leaving Alphonse alone. He's not letting him leave. He wants the test to be finished. The Baron was arranging for a funeral of a friend who was also a Frenchman who had died in Rome. This funeral was going to take place in the Basilica of St. Andrew delle Fratte in Rome, where later on St. Maximilian would celebrate his first Mass. Ratisbon was there reluctantly with him still. He had this guide, this tour guide, that just wouldn't leave him alone, showing him from place to place, showing him the beautiful churches and the beautiful Catholic monuments in Rome, which Alphonse didn't want to see. So Ratisbon was there with him, not knowing why he could not stop following this new friend of his, whom he hated and loved at the same time. From his diary, he says, if anyone had said to me that morning, you have gotten up this morning and gotten out of a bed, you have gotten up and left your bed this morning a Jew, and you will go to bed a Christian, I would have looked at him as hopelessly, as a ludicrously madman. And yet, that's what happens. The Baron left his friend, Ratisbon, waiting in the church, and he went to arrange the funeral in the sacristy. When he came out into the church again, he found Ratisbon kneeling, weeping, and in prayer. What happens in between, right? Just in this little short space of time, as the Baron is in the sacristy arranging for the funeral, something amazing is happening in the church. What is it? In Ratisbon's own words, I was scarcely in the church when a total confusion came over me. When I looked up, it seemed to me that the entire church had been swallowed up in shadow, in darkness, except for one chapel. It was as though all the light was concentrated in that single place. I looked over towards this chapel, whence so much light was shining, and above the altar, I could see a living figure, tall, majestic, beautiful, and full of mercy. It was the Most Holy Virgin Mary, resembling what she looked like on the miraculous medal. At this sight, I fell on my knees right where I stood. Unable to look up because of the blinding light, I fixed my glance on her hands, right? From her hands, what is coming? Rays of light, which symbolize grace. I fixed my glance on her hands, and in them I could read the expression of mercy and pardon. In the presence of the Most Blessed Virgin, even though she did not speak a single word to me, it was a silent vision, I understood the frightful situation I was in, my sins, the gravity of them, the ugliness of them. I understood all of that. And at the same time, I understood the beauty of the Catholic faith and my calling to it. I came out of that chapel as if coming out of a tomb, out of an abyss. And I was living, perfectly, energetically living. Kneeling there before Our Lady, Alphonse received a special grace, that of conversion. Instantly, he detested all his sins and fell in love with the truth, the faith, Jesus Christ, his church, his mother. And at the same time, he received a gift of infused knowledge of everything about that faith. We'll see that in the end. That's why his baptism took place just days after his conversion. He needed no instruction. Everything was revealed to him by a special grace. It doesn't usually happen, but this isn't a usual story. He says, I wept because I saw before me the fearful miseries from which I had been rescued by the mercy of God. And I thought of my brother now, no longer with hatred, this priest brother, this traitor of our Jewish people. I thought of him with joy, and of the rest of my family, my fiance, my uncle, my sisters, I thought of them with great sadness. Are you never to raise your eyes to the Savior of the world, I thought? Are you never to benefit from the blood that has washed away original sin? Oh, how foul is the blot of that stain! How completely it obliterates every trace by which we might recognize the creature that was made in the image and likeness of God. Alphonsus leaves the chapel now. And the Baron finds him in this unexpected condition. If you recall, in the beginning, the prayer that Alphonse prayed to God, I ask God for some inspiration, some hint of his will that might guide me in my projects for improving the condition of the Jews. And this was the answer. Alphonse, again, now fast-forwarding the story, and then we'll go back to where we're fast-forwarding from. Alphonse, later on, after becoming a Catholic, became a priest and a missionary in the Holy Land, specifically to the Jewish people. He founded a congregation for that purpose, the Congregation of Our Lady of Zion. This was God's answer to his prayers. Share the Catholic faith with the Jewish people. It is for them primarily and principally. They are still the chosen people called to embrace the Messiah. The greatest gift we can give to our Jewish brothers and sisters, to any non-believer, to any non-Catholic, is the Catholic faith. So at this point, pausing the story of Alphonse Ratisbon, I'm going to try to invite you to become a part of this story, then we'll finish this story and then finish the whole story in the homily, okay? So that's still the plan, okay? So how can you become a part of this story? Perhaps you might know somebody who's not Catholic, or a Catholic who's lapsed, not practicing. So remember that just as each and every one of us received the Catholic faith from somebody else, we, who have a duty of gratitude to that person, also have a duty to share that faith that we have received from others with others. We have been evangelized by others. We must evangelize in our turn. We can become a part of this story in this way. Think of many, many ways we could formulate the takeaway. You can ask yourself, what am I hearing now that I'd like to share with somebody? What are the people with whom I'd like to share this story? Who are the people that I would wish to hear this story? Well, tell them that story. Don't just wish for it to happen. Be the ones to tell them the story. Challenge somebody. You don't have to adopt the Baron's style. That's pretty forceful. I'm sure he had the personality to be able to do what he did. We don't have to, in every detail, imitate his approach. But his fervor, definitely. God wanted to convert this man, Alphonse, not directly, because he does not do that, but through the mediation of another person, because that's how the church works. All of you here, even if no other person, except for the priest who baptized you, helped you to have the faith, you all depend on somebody else for your faith. That's how you can become a part of this story. Live your calling to be missionaries, and specifically Marian missionaries. All of you who are hearing this, we have an easy way of evangelizing. Lead souls to Our Lady. From her can come no harm, only good. She will do the hard part of the work. You just lead souls to her, to pray to her, to wear the medal. She will do the hard part of the work. Back to Alphonsus, we'll finish his story. His question was, when can I receive baptism without which I can no longer live? That was his burning question. And within his soul, he had an amazing struggle, we can say. On the one hand, he had a burning desire to approach the Blessed Sacrament, which he, by infused faith, knew was present in the tabernacle. He knew that our Lord was present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Blessed Sacrament. He had a burning desire to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to approach Him. But at the same time, a fear that he could not overcome, a sense of unworthiness that he couldn't break, because he had a sense of that original sin in which he was still trapped. All he could do at that point was just pray to Our Lady, from whom he felt only love and mercy. So he says, when can I receive this baptism without which I can no longer live? On January 31st, to make a long story short, only 11 days after the miracle, he received baptism, confirmation, and his first Holy Communion from the hands of the Cardinal, Vicar of Rome, Cardinal Patrizi. In the same year, after a formal inquiry about the apparition of January the 20th, the same Cardinal, Vicar of Rome, declared that it was a divine miracle, operated through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and permitted the publication and the spreading of the texts according to that miracle, which are the ones we read today. As I already anticipated by saying, Alphonse Ratisbonne, who received the faith through a friend, shared it with his friends. He dedicated his whole life to doing exactly that. That should be the takeaway for each and every one of us here. The faith is precious. And God has given it for us, but not just for us, but for the other people in our life with whom we are called to share it, with the help of our Blessed Lady. So for that intention, let's conclude by praying the Memorare in this prayer. Again, think of all the people that you wish would hear this story. Think of all the people that you wish were here. Think of all the people that you wish would wear the miraculous medal. Pray for them and ask Our Lady to use you as instruments in their lives. Let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.